you know, but the important thing is just to put on a pair of sneakers, you know, go outside and get on a trail and try it out and have fun, right? Because if you have fun, if there's some joy in that experience, you'll come back for more.
Welcome to the Trailhead of Trail Runner Nation, where we go on virtual trail runs with interesting guests and can tell us some fun stories, some interesting stories, some inspiring stories to help us become better runners and hopefully better human beings.
And today we're going to talk about Trail Running Illustrated. That's a new book. And we're going to go over all the rules to becoming a great and accomplished trail runner. It's in the book. In an upcoming episode, we spoke to David Horton. We asked him this question. If you could gift a trail runner a special power, what would it be? And what did he say, Scott?
He said an iron stomach. You need an iron stomach for these longer runs. And we want to tell you about a company, a partner of ours that helps aid in that. And that is UCAN. They make crash-free energy products. What does that mean?
It's real food that provides athletes with steady, long-lasting energy without the spikes and crashes associated with sugar and other common carbs.
They're trusted by many top experts, including Bob Sibahar, who is a former U.S. Olympic sports dietitian.
And whether you're looking for the Edge Energy, which is a portable, energy, easy-to-use packet, energy powder, energy bars, energy and protein, they've got it all, Scott, and they have the science behind it.
You can get 20% off if you go to UCAN.co/TRN and use the code TRN20 at checkout. And we have a special gift that we want to give back to our Patreon supporters. It's a $25 gift code. We'll be emailing all Patreon supporters that are supporters as of today. They'll be getting a code for $25 worth of UCAN products. If you want to be part of these giveaways, we're going to try to do this quarterly. If you want to participate with our partners in this, go to our partners page and sign up. One of our other great partners is Jonji. They make great running apparel. They're a great company that has a mission.
For men or women, they have bottoms, tops, outerwear, and accessories. You know that sling bag, Scott? Have you seen that?
That's kind of a cool little sling bag. They also have that great Zephyr running jacket that we've talked about so many times. I've had to pull that out of the closet because it's starting to get a little cold, getting a little rain here in Northern California.
But do you know what I love about Jonji is the look. They have great prints and they look fantastic.
They also donate 2% of their sales to clean water. With a fall winter American Southwest collection, they've partnered up with Dig Deep to provide and install running clean water in households in the Navajo Nation. So you're doing good by purchasing great products.
Scott, Jonji helps you look good too. And if you look good, you probably look like you're running well too.
You can get 15% off by going to Jonji, that's JANJI.com, and enter the code TRN15 at checkout.
Welcome to another edition of Trail Runner Nation. My name is Don Freeman.
And I'm Scott Warr. And today we have a couple old friends of ours that have joined us to talk about Trail Running Illustrated, a new book that has come out that they have co-authored. One of the authors is Doug Mayer. He's been trail running for over 30 years. And this past year, he completed the iconic and tough Tour de Jeanne in Italy. He runs a great business over in Chamonix, France called Run the Alps that provides guided running tours all over the Alps. You might have seen Doug's many articles in Trail Runner magazine or lurking around behind the scenes here at TRN. Brian Metzler. When I think of Brian Metzler, I think of a Renaissance man. He's an avid trail runner, adventurer. He's a content strategist, which I don't know what that means. And he's an author of another book called Kixology, which we did a podcast on probably a couple years ago. He's been on the show a couple times where we talked about shoes and his book Kixology. And one that is one of my favorites where he taught us about pack burro racing. Welcome, guys, to the show.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for having me. And glad to be here.
Yeah, great to be here.
these two guys got together. They've been friends for a long time, and they decided, hey, let's write a book. How did that whole idea come about, and how did you pick the topic, which we'll get into in a minute?
Well, it started so long ago, I'm not sure I recall.
It was a while ago, yeah.
Which is like a lot of book projects, right? You know, it's like, hey, let's write a book. How hard can it be? You know, the idea, I think, really started with a series that Trail Runner Magazine did. And I forget, Brian, even if you worked on that, a bunch of folks contributed to a series on how to trail run. And I thought it was a really well-done feature that they did. And I sort of, you know, wanted to expand upon it. And so we took that original content from a number of Trail Runner Magazine contributing editors and just, you know, built on it from there. It was a great start. And, you know, instead of taking us 7 years, it took us 3 years.
That sounds about right. And it turned out to be this great book that, as we know, pictures are better than words, and it's full of these great illustrations. And so what we can't really maybe put together in words, somebody else put together in pictures.
The book we're talking about is Trail Running Illustrated, The Art of Running Free. It's out on bookshelves or Amazon or wherever you want to get it. The thing that first caught my eye was the cover. And actually, I had it sitting on my counter, and one of my sons walked by and he goes, "Hey, that's a cool looking book." And he never says stuff like that. The cover and the illustrations are great. When you open it up, it actually addresses my lack of attention. It's a lot of photos, short little articles and snippets, and that sort of thing. Why did you decide, Brian, to talk about, you know, to address those that are trying to get into trail running? Then we already have a lot of trail runners out there.
Yeah, I think, you know, we definitely have a lot of trail runners out there, but I think that trail running has gone through a couple evolutions. I think that if for those of us that ran on trails, even at all, or were remotely familiar with kind of the core of the sport that started probably in the 70s in earnest, and then in the 80s and 90s, it was pretty tiny then. Then it grew quite a bit through the late 90s into the early 2000s. When I started Trail Runner Magazine, everyone was like, "Oh, wow, trail running, what's that?" Right. And like, it kind of grew through the early 2000s. And then, you know, now we're in this next explosion, partially fueled by COVID, because everyone got outdoors and wanted to find the trails that were right outside their door, but also because it was kind of one of the next steps of what people were doing in endurance. Obviously, marathoning and, you know, running on roads has been great, but people have been through that. And maybe same with triathlon and ultra running, which is part of trail running, is a big part of that and kind of a next great challenge. And so I think there's a whole new generation of trail runners that are just getting into it. And I think are really eager to find out more about it, how to train, how to fuel, what to wear, all that stuff. And I really think that we're in this next explosion of the sport we love. And we've, you know, obviously been around in a lot of years, but I think that we're really seeing some growth right now.
When I first hear, "Hey, there's another trail running book," I have two questions. Number one, if I hear a new book for new runners, I think, wait, I'm not a new runner. I don't need to read this. But as I was thumbing through it and looking at it, it was a fun book to read. It was fun to compare my knowledge base against what you have written. What's my experience with injury or nutrition or warming up or any of these aspects? I think it applies really to the veteran and to the person you're trying to coax out on the trail. So I think you've done a good job.
I think that was sort of a goal. You know, we didn't want to create a book just for someone who was getting started. And I actually learned a lot myself, you know, from, you know, Brian and from a bunch of the other, you know, contributors to the book. And it's kind of designed to be, you know, kind of read as you want, just piece by piece. It's not, I feel like a lot of the intro books tend to be very long and detailed and very technical. And we were really fortunate to be able to work with a wonderful publisher, Helvetique, over in Switzerland, who, you know, sort of, you know, helped us kind of chunk it up a bit. So, you know, you can just open it up anywhere and read a few pages. So I think it works pretty well in that regard. And, you know, I've been able to learn a lot myself.
Yeah, I think that the design is great. Again, Helvetique did a great job. Certainly the design, the illustrations, really give a kind of an Instagram feel to it, where we all know our own attention span is small and short. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just the way we've kind of been kind of taken down this valley of social media. But I think that it allows you to dive in at any point, as Doug said, and get kind of a good nugget of information or humor or whatever it is. And then, then pull yourself out of it. And so I think for that reason, it's a good coffee table book. One that'll be around, as opposed to like a pure instructional, do it this way, do it this way. And it's less lectury and more, I think, fun and attention getting.
Yeah, I think that's the thing that appeals to me, is it's not a chapter book where you have to sit down and start on chapter one and read it through. It could be just a reference guide. You could keep it in your vehicle. And while you're waiting for your trail running buddy to show up at the trailhead, just open it up and grab a couple nuggets. And then go out and apply those nuggets, or even talk about, that's the topic for today's run. And that's why I really liked it.
Mm-hmm. You could drop that in during your trail run and be the person on the trail who's always, clued in to the latest bit of information, right?
As I was thumbing through this thing, what came to my mind, if I had a chance to speak to the authors, I'd ask them this question. Does it cost extra to use this much color? Because you guys have used up most of the ink that that most publishers take to write their entire library of books. You've got a lot of color.
There's not a lot of white space in this book, is there, Don?
No, there isn't.
It is true that we used up all the color for this year, and actually all future books for the remainder of the year are going to have to be black and white.
Does it cost extra to put that much color in a book?
Yeah, it does. And in fact, the really expensive part was that we did have a few designers working on the book, and actually a lot of credit goes to those folks. They spent nearly a year themselves, working on the book and revising. So, I mean, that's a huge part of the book, is to try to make it really accessible and kind of, open and like you were saying, not so technical feeling.
Before we get into some of the details and nitty gritty of the book, I was just curious. You guys have been trail running. Both of you have been trail running for many decades. Has the barrier to entry of trail running, has it changed over the decades? Is it easier to get into trail running now, or is it harder?
Maybe neither, I think, or both. I don't know. I think that, when I was first trail running, it was in the 80s, and it wasn't really a thing. It was running, and I happened to be on trails, right? And maybe it's still that way now. I think that trail running has evolved as its own sport and discipline, obviously. And as the longer you go, there's more kind of stuff and procedure and gear and training, all that stuff. But I think the simple part of it, the beautiful part of it, is that, yeah, lace up your shoes and go. Go out for a run on a trail. And I think that's been pretty accessible, generally speaking, throughout. I think more people are aware of it now. More people are aware of the benefits. More people are aware of, hey, that trail's right over there. Certainly back in the 70s and 80s, everyone was running on the roads for God knows what reason. But we know that there's benefits, inherent benefits of running on trails. You see fresh air, beautiful views, wildlife, all this stuff, run free, From another point of view, though, I think that certainly, as we're talking about, more diversity, more openness, more access to trails, I think that trail running is finally starting to get that. And that's maybe the next piece that kind of is the back end of your question, or the next step, is that like trail running has always been accessible. But now, fortunately, we're seeing both an international flow of trail running. I was just in Thailand for a trail running race. And so internationally, we're seeing more people engage in their own cultures and their own trails. And then also in the United States, I think we're seeing more people from different backgrounds get in trail running. So that's kind of the cool part of where we are now when you speak to accessibility.
Yeah, I think that's a really cool component. When I started trail running, 80 or 90 years ago, it was just kind of a very narrow group of people. And, the other component of that is that I think trail runners were a very odd thing to see. So we weren't even really accepted on the trails. I mean, I can remember getting, yelled at by hikers and stuff like that. And now it's more okay to be a trail runner and be out on the trails. It's, been normalized happily. And there's just such a greater diversity of, people trying it out, which is just a wonderful thing, because it's accessible to, you know, so many of us, right? You know, even if you're in a city, you can find some kind of trail that's not too far away, hopefully.
The community of trail running is so different than road running or, you know, triathlon or the sports. And I've been thinking about that quite a bit, but I think it's really tied to this collective challenge of being outdoors and being in the mountains and being on the trails, and also this, you know, collective anguish we put ourselves through in hard running, you know. And I think that that's this common bond we share, as opposed to being on the roads where we're all segregated based on our split times, based on how fast we actually are. That doesn't exist on the trails. It's not about times and splits. It's about being outdoors, being together. And so I think that is kind of one of the surges now of this new growth I spoke about earlier, but also kind of where accessibility is kind of gaining ground. It's a community feel. It's like that's the beauty of why we like the trail run.
I remember when I first started trail running, I had so many questions. And then after you become acclimated and join a community and get those questions answered, then it becomes second nature. You think, oh yeah, I don't believe I even asked that question. Do we run this hill? Or, you know, what should we do when this happens? If another runner is coming up the hill and I'm coming down, who has the right of way? There are so many rules that are not really restricting us, but we want to be part of a friendly community, and we don't want to look like the person that's out of place. And you go through all of those etiquette rules and what to expect and what happens when things go wrong. You have a lot of warning signs in there for us that help people and give them confidence that, you know, it's okay. It's safe to go out there and take a chance. So I like how you go through and give these tips.
One of the questions I have that I noticed and I wanted to ask if this was intentional is the order of the chapters. I noticed that trail racing you don't even broach the subject until chapter 11. And a lot of times I think people think of trail running and trail racing synonymously. Why did it take 11 chapters to come up with racing?
And there's 15 chapters. So, I mean, let's in context.
I said, we had a lot to say, apparently.
Yeah, I guess so. You know, I think it's a really good point. I think, you know, Brian, you kind of maybe touched on it, you know, earlier that, you know, trail running is a, you know, I think for us is really fundamentally about getting outside, you know, going, you know, challenging yourself outdoors in a wild area. And the sort of, you know, beauty and challenge that comes from that is a wonderful thing. And, you know, trail racing can be great too. I've certainly been racing, you know, I've been racing for 20 plus years now, but it's also complicated, right? You know, there is these protocols and, you know, rules, and you're comparing yourself against other people. There's a lot of baggage that can go along with it. And I think we wanted to focus on just the simplicity and you know, the joy and the beauty of getting outside. And, you know, in the very first chapter, we talk about how, you know, you don't need a lot of advice, which is ironic, right, for a book of however many hundreds of pages this is. You know, but the important thing is just to put on a pair of sneakers, you know, go outside and get on a trail and try it out and have fun, right? Because if you have fun, if there's some joy in that experience, you'll come back for more, right? And I think, I do think, to be, you know, totally serious for just a moment, that a lot of books tend to focus on, it's really important to have a stride rate of X or a shoe drop of such and such, or, you know, on and on and on, all this technical stuff that honestly I can't even recall myself or that I forget all the time. And, you know, what's really important is having fun, right? And if we can keep the focus squarely on that, then people will race eventually, right? But I think that's why it took 11 chapters.
I like, speaking of having fun, I like how Doug just drops all those critiques about potentially a book I wrote and all the crap I wrote in my book about running shoes.
Oh, no.
kidding. I think that trail running especially can be super simple. And as much as there is gear, it has a different, less data-focused approach or can than, say, road racing or track racing or anything that is, like, again, inherently timed. You know, it doesn't really matter what time you finish your race, you know, but it also doesn't really matter. Racing is a secondary thing. I think running, and you know, part of the reason the subtitle is The Art of Running Free is because trail running is that simple and it is that freeing to just go out and run. And like, you know, you can get a strong workout either by simply running or by certainly doing workouts. But I think it's like, it's so different than road running and so different than like training for a marathon and so different than all these other aspects of running or fitness that have to be quantified into X or to Y. And I think trail running is that it can be a pure release and you can spend your entire summer of just going out to run and it can be that simple. And that's beautiful, you know?
Let's take that word and term racing and kick it around a little bit. Because when I think of racing, I think maybe back to high school about going around a track on the track team. I think about the Olympics. I think about Formula One race cars. I think about fast speed and podiums. But we go out and we do all kinds of races. We have people that show up to races with just trying to get in before the race is over. And that accomplishment is brilliant and fantastic. So let's talk a little bit about the concept of how we talk about racing in trail running versus the very competitive elite group that might be up front that are really battling and how many years you can really be competitive like that. But Doug said, hey, I've been running for what, 20 or 30 years, or was it 90 years? I've raced this long. There's no way to be competitive that long, yet we still show up and we put a bib on and we have a great time. So let's talk about the term racing as we use it.
When I think racing in trail running, I think it's more of a man versus himself, getting back into my high school literature class, right? It's not man versus man, it's man versus himself. The race is against my own psyche, my own physical limits. And at least that's the way that I think of it. I really never think, hey, there's a guy up front and I'm going to take advantage and I'm going to pass him like the wind. Although sometimes that's a fun way to think. That's not the ultimate goal, is to beat him to the finish line. It's to beat myself to the finish line.
Good.
Yeah, I think that in racing, I think that everyone has their own relative goals, you know, including elites and but also someone like, you know, a long time ago I was relatively fast and now I'm very much relatively slow, you know, and like can I still have goals to pin on a bib and do a race? Sure. And I do, you know, I certainly have aspirations to do certain trail races. Some of those are motivated more by the type of event, the type of challenge that presents itself, the location that it might be in, and much less about me actually wanting to have, you know, top 30% goals or whatever. I mean, like, you know, would I want to run Tour de Gente or CCC or Golden Leaf half marathon? Sure. Yes, I would. Does that mean I would train for it? Yes, it would. But does that mean that I, you know, have such a rigid goal that I need to be, you know, running at this pace or running in the top 20% or finish 15th or whatever? No, I am inspired to run those trails and those events, what they represent, what the challenge is to me personally, relative to the field of other runners who I know or don't know. And I see elite fast people at the starting line and that's great. And I finish when I finish. And that's the inherent challenge for me. And that's what I love. And so, I think that's what draws people to trail running too, because you can do that. You can go anywhere all over the world or in your backyard and find these races without the same kind of structured goals that really kind of create pressure and angst and all that other stuff.
I think that's a really good point. And you know, as I think of my own trail racing career, if you can call it that, I've had fun trail racing now for, you know, 30 years, and I've watched as trail racing for me has evolved, just like my trail running, you know. So time was when I wanted to finish in the top three in my age group, right? And or finish in the top 15% or 20% in a really competitive race, you know, over here in the Alps. You know, those days are gone. So I've found that as I've aged, I still enjoy racing, but I enjoy it for different reasons. You know, it's great just to compete and be part of the scene. I'm in a different age group now, which helps. But I'm not comparing myself so much to, you know, other people. I'm comparing myself against myself, and I'm also cutting myself a lot of slack. You know, every year we're a year older and a little bit slower. And even if I'm training hard, that's just kind of the reality. And I remind myself that that's fine. You know, one consequence for me is that I actually got kind of bored of racing, like the shorter, faster races, which I did for a long time. And, you know, shorter these days, I mean, like 30K and less. And so these longer, wild, crazy events, you know, multi-day events where you're going through the night, I think, you know, those present a different kind of challenge, right? So I think our trail racing can evolve, you know, alongside us. And it doesn't always have to be the same thing throughout your life.
I think one of the ways that racing is prominent and makes sense is that there's one of the ways it's changed is that the younger generation of runners in the last, say, 10 or 12 years, 15 years, has really changed the game in terms of the front of the pack speed. I mean, and the things that runners are doing. I mean, the Joe Grays, the Jim Walmsleys, Courtney DeWalter, even, you know, from short distance to ultra distance. You know, back in the 80s and 90s, there was people competitive and there were people running relatively fast, including Scott Jurek in his seven Western states. But as we've seen, like, man, there's some crazy fast people out there. That's super inspiring, even though I'm not fast and not going to race like that. It's super inspiring to see the sport be taken that direction and become more international at all levels. You know, 20 years ago, European runners didn't come to the United States. The United States didn't go to Europe. There was nothing in Asia. But now it's like there's competitive runners from every continent, and you go to any race wherever you are, and you're going to see some really elite athletes that might have in the past gone to marathoning or other kind of running. But I think now they're coming into trail running for all the right reasons and because it's becoming more competitive. But I think that's the aspect of racing that's super cool. We all do races. We all, you know, pin on a bib and go after our challenges. But from the front, I think it's super inspiring to see these athletes that are so fast and so high energy, high rev, high performance, really doing cool things.
I we're talking a little bit about, you know, aging and slowing down and accepting that. What I think is cool, and I've thought of this. You mentioned Scott Jurek and seven Western States victories, which is amazing, and it's going to be hard to see that happen again. But no matter how old Scott gets, or how his speed decreases as speed will do, he's still held in the highest regard. He can be in the very, very back and running, and just in the back of the pack, just running, making cutoffs, but he's still considered Scott Jurek, the elite. So you carry your reputation with you regardless of your speed. And I think that's cool in our sport that we do that.
Good point, Don. It's getting colder outside in the Northern Hemisphere, which means warm gear. And Path Projects has that, from the Cascade long sleeve shirt,
or my favorite, the Pyrenees hoodie.
Oh boy. I probably wear my Pyrenees hoodie more than my wife would like me to.
Hey, you know what? In fact, your wife even wears that Pyrenees hoodie, because men and women wear that Pyrenees hoodie. It's that great.
That's true. They also have a couple different types of baseliners. They have the Tahoe CL full-length baseliner, which is the version that is based on their most popular baseliner. It's for cool and moderate weather. And then if it's really cold, which ones do they go for, Don?
They go for the Shasta HX full-length baseliner for cool or cold weather.
All you need to know is it's stretchable, it's breathable, and it has a little bit of a medium compression feel to it.
Hey, this sport is hard enough. Don't make it harder. Get the right gear. Path Projects.
Go to pathprojects.com. I want to shift just a little bit, if I may. You know, a lot of times we get into the nitty-gritty of trail running and racing and gear and sort of that. I'm sure we have some listeners that have been inspired by, you know, I want to get out and trail run. And in the book, you do a very good job. You talk about why you should consider trail running as a sport or as a lifestyle. And then you go into how do you start? And I think that here in 2021, almost 2022,
It's easier to get started. Do you guys mind talking about if someone is listening and they're thinking, I really want to try this trail running thing, how do I do it? And they may have some anxiety about going out in, you know, on these trails with cougars and bears and elephants and alligators.
Snakes.
You know, I think talking about the fears is, you know, one, you know, perhaps not the place to start, but it's something that we need to address. And I was really interested to learn from a study I saw recently that the number one fear, number one or two, is actually taking a fall on the trail. But, you know, I mean, we're all so used to it, right? I mean, I have a theory that every 100 kilometers, I take a no holds barred Superman wipeout, you know, and that's just, you know, but we've all learned, right, that like that's going to happen and it's okay, right? It's just part of life. You're going to come back with a tiny little war story and a little bit of blood on your knee. And, you know, you'll get to tell the story three times on the way home or something, you know, but for a lot of people who are getting started and, you know, understandably taking a wipeout on a trail is kind of a terrifying thought maybe. And so from my point of view, I think one really important thing to convey is that it's okay to fall. Like, and falling is totally normal and it's going to happen. And it's, you know, even Kilian Jornet falls, right? You know, thankfully he hasn't fallen in the wrong spot. He doesn't fall there, you know, but, you know, that's okay. So I think talking about the fears is an important, you know, step in overcoming the barriers for people.
Yeah. And I think that, I think from the bigger picture, when someone, you know, is like, oh, you know, they hear stories about somebody running in the mountains or running an ultra and all this stuff. I mean, trail running on that scale, at that end of the spectrum is very intimidating. I get that. I get that for sure. I mean, and even when you see the cover of Runner's World, you see a trail runner, people think, oh, I could never be out there in the remote wilderness, wherever it is. And you know, it's, so there's an intimidation factor as much as there's a beauty and inspiration factor. You know, I think that in trail running can be hard. If you go to your local trail, wherever it might be, yeah, it's different. It's harder when you're running over hills and up steeper things. And so one of the things I think is that, one, you can make it as simple as possible to get into it. And as much as anything else, walking is okay too. You know, I mean, walking we know is a big part of trail running. And that can, you know, certainly reduce the anxieties of trying to have to keep up or, you know, keep your pace up over a hill. You know, so there's a lot of things that people learn, you know, or can learn early on as they start trail running and can learn from our book, of course. But trail running can be as simple as you want it to be and should be maybe when you start. I think that, you know, there's more technical gear and there's more understanding of maps and data and locate all this stuff. But trail running can be that simple. And it can be, you know, a walk when you need to, run when you want to kind of thing through your local park, local trails, and keeping it simple. You don't have to run ultra distances. You don't have to run in the mountains. You can, you know, there's plenty of trails in urban and suburban areas in America and around the world where there's great trails that have aspects of the same glimpses you see in the bigger scale mountains and stuff. So I think that, you know, for beginners, certainly keeping it simple and lowering all those anxieties is a good starting point.
I think that's a really good point. It reminded me, my sister was recently visiting her daughter in New York City, and she went for a trail run in Central Park. and to me, I've never been to Central Park, but I think,
yeah,
really? A trail run? And she said, yeah, there are trails in Central Park that you can go run. I think one of the things that is important to know if you're considering going out there is there's a couple really great resources out there. One, the local running store, and that's always been there. Most of the local running stores have running times or events that they do, you know, like at 5 o'clock on Tuesdays, they go for a run. That's a great way to ease your anxiety and go out with a group. The other way is there are so many apps now that you can download for free on your phone, and you can do a search for trails in your area, which didn't exist, what, 15 years ago. And I think that's a some great resources that you mention in the book. So thank you for doing that.
Yeah, I think apps didn't really exist like five years ago. I think that apps are a great way. Like Trail Run Project is an example of a great app that has a lot of great detail on trails. You can search your region and find a lot of cool trails you might not have known existed. I think also there's so many trail running clubs or groups that really are welcoming and inclusive, and they want to bring new trail runners along, primarily because most of the runners in that group probably started in the last few years anyway and went through the same process. And again, it's all about community. And I think that any trail running group from a running store, from a running club, from a particular region, certainly you can Google them and find them in your region. But I think those people are so welcoming, even if you're a never ever and have never set foot on a trail or you're new to a particular place, you'll not only be welcomed and find places to run, but you'll really get immersed with this group and find people you can run with, and realize that, like, you know, most of those group runs, people aren't running away from anybody. They're all, you know, running and stopping to catch up and making sure everyone's, you know, not eaten by a cougar, you know? So.
Yeah. It's a great social time. I mean, one of the biggest trail running clubs in the world is right here in France and in Chamonix. It has, you know, 300 members. And, you know, for me, when I go, it's like, you know, a chance for me to talk French with 30 or 40 different people and hang out and visit and catch up with people. I think the main point for me, I think, though, is that we have this sort of human nature sometimes to make things really complicated and elaborate and overly so. And, you know, when you stop and think about it, the fact is we've been trail running for what, a couple million years or something like that. Like we, you know, and that's the point that we make in the first chapter, is that you already know how to trail run. Now, that's an oversimplification, right? But it's kind of making the point that, you know, don't let a lot of thoughts about gear being required and technology and Strava and GPS watches and fancy shoes get in the way of just setting foot on a trail. I mean, we have some tips for getting started. I mean, there are obviously basic things you want to think about, right? You want to make sure you're picking the right trail and that you're doing it, you know, safely in an environment that feels safe and comfortable to you. But, you know, you can just get started and go. And then, you know, we actually crowdsource the words that people, you know, talked about after their first trail run. And we put it in here. And of course, I don't have it right in front of me. But it was a lot of really, you know, joyful, happy, encouraging, you know, supportive words. Here it is, you know, fun, adventurous, liberating, exhausting, addictive, inspiring, exhilarating, blisters, muddy, invigorating. You know, people just need to get started. I guess that's my point.
So, Doug, I want to make a comment about the simplicity. You're right. You can get out there, just put on a set of shoes and go out and do it and trust your instincts and have a great time and meet groups. I want to talk about that app. We've all used driving apps to get to a place or a destination we're not familiar with. We have complete confidence in that app. And we can see where we're located in real time compared to the map that's etched out for us or the route. It's the same way with these running apps. Whether you have cell coverage or not, as long as you've downloaded the route, you can see exactly where the route is and exactly where you're positioned. I have such confidence of going out and running that with those apps. It's fantastic. And many of the races have that as a requirement. The multi-day races have it as a requirement that you have to have that downloaded for your own safety. And I wonder about that. I wonder if there's going to be a time where we stop marking trees and we just start running with an app. What do you think?
Whoa. It's probably coming along with the virtual reality trail running glasses, right?
In trail running in the metaverse. Yeah, I mean, that's next. That'll be our next book, by the way.
Oh, God. No.
I think that there's a lot of different ways to get into trail running. And I think that, you know, more of a general approach is, you know, yeah, just get started. I think that, again, people come from road running and marathons. People come from never, ever doing anything. People come from, oh, I used to be an athlete a long time ago. Trail running accepts all these people, both physically, because it's a good way to move your body. I think, again, socially, because there's all these different kind of ways to get into it. I think different goals, all these different things. And I think that like that's what is great about trail running and just getting involved and getting started without having any background or any serious, you know, fitness.
You know, I'm going to switch gears again and go to chapter 10. Chapter 10, let me see what the title is here. Here it is.
Women on the Trails.
Women on the Trails. Okay, the two authors of this are men. How did you write this chapter on women? Did you get some good input or, I mean, there's some good information here.
Scott, the word man or men is right in the chapter title, so it's appropriate.
No. We deferred to a longtime great friend of both of ours, Yitka Nguyen, who is a wonderful writer, really thoughtful and very much brighter than the both of us combined. So, you know, she contributed, well, she wrote that chapter, and we say that right at the top. I don't think either one of us can, you know, claim to talk authoritatively about that. I think it's something, but, you know, in all seriousness, I think it's something obviously that we all need to understand, right? I mean, this is the 50%, you know, these are, you know, it's half the trail running world. So it doesn't matter who you are.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I read it and learned some stuff. I mean, these women that are out there are way tougher than us. So I don't skip the chapter if you're a man. I think it's a great chapter. Of all the chapters in here, which chapter did you learn the most from as you were doing the research and writing? Brian, how about you first?
Probably, I don't know. There's so many good things that are so current. I mean, I think that you know, the training aspect is pretty cool. I think everyone has a different way of approaching training. I mean, I have a long time ago, I had a track and field background, and so I probably carried a lot of that into my world of training. And yet, certainly there's a lot of different ways to train. I think that, like, you know, how the body adapts physically to the movements and just process of trail running is different for everybody. And I think that there's a lot of great coaches out there now that are really delving into that, and especially the longer you go, I think, you know, tied with fueling too, it's a whole not yet discovered fully kind of portion of what trail running is. I think marathon is different, for example, where it's pretty well maxed out. People understand the exact amount of fueling and hydration that goes into running a certain pace, and obviously with these new shoes, people are running super fast. That's pretty maxed out. Whereas trail running, ultra running, I think there's so much unknown. And so I think the combination of training and in fueling is very interesting to me. And I think it's kind of still the unknown frontier of kind of how people perform the way they do.
What about you, Doug?
Yeah, I think the training chapter was really interesting for me because honestly, I'm pretty delinquent in that category. I'm one of those guys who, you know, never does his core strength workout and never stretches after or before and just laces them up and heads out the door. So I always have a lot to learn in that field. I think, you know, one of the ones I was just thinking, I think the chapter that actually in sort of sharing this book with others, you know, we did a round of comments from a number of folks in chapter 14, which we call You Can Run That Too, is possibly the chapter that, I mean, I learned some from that, but obviously I'm trail running over here in the Alps. And I think that's a chapter that a lot of people will learn from, because I certainly have the experience organizing trips over here that people don't think they can run the Alps, right? They think they're going to have to run uphill really quickly. And the reality is that we can trail run on all kinds of terrain in all kinds of places. You know, you might be fast hiking uphill with a pair of, you know, carbon fiber poles. You might be doing your best to sort of dance along technical terrain downhill. You might be carefully, gingerly moving along a snowfield. That's all trail running. And I think sometimes people don't even imagine that that's possible. And it doesn't mean that you're running fast. If I can just, you know, just for 1 second, tell a great anecdote that I think of a lot. My friend Mike Ambrose, who for a long time taught trail running as part of Solomon workshops all around the U.S., he's run with Killian, And he, at the beginning of the workshop, he'll pick a tree like 100 yards away. And he'll say, okay, everybody, show me what you think trail running is. And we're going to run to that tree. Go at a trail running pace. And everybody, of course, takes off really fast, right? And they have their stopwatches going and their GPS watches. And they get there. And Mike says, okay, stop your watch. What was your time? And people say, 14 seconds, 12 seconds, 8 seconds, whatever. And Mike says, okay, you have all run faster than Kilian Jornet trail runs, and so the point is to shift your expectations, and it's all trail running, and it doesn't matter how fast you're going. It's all good.
It reminds me of in the introduction, which is written by Brendan Leonard, where he relates one of his first stories where he was trail running, and I'm doing air quotes because you can't see me. He's trail running up this this mountain, and some mountain bikers, he stepped aside and let some mountain bikers that were coming down the hill past, and they said, have a good hike. And he was offended by that. I'm not hiking, I'm trail running. He says, can't you see I have my trail running shoes on and my hydration pack, and I'm trail running out here, and was offended by that. I think that the expectations of what trail running is something that you need to redefine in your head, and it discusses that very, very well in the book.
He also stated that while the guy is right, I'm doing this 30 to 40% of the time. So this is trail running. It's a combination. It's a very strategic distribution of personal effort. How do I travel from A to B the most efficiently? And in this context, in this little piece, I'm more efficient hiking of a strategic hike is very helpful in getting A to B the quickest. So you got to give yourself permission.
Yeah, and I think that, again, trail running is what you make it. I think that it doesn't have to be structured. And like in a given week, whether I'm training for something or have an event on my schedule or not, I mean, like, I'll go out and run on trails probably 6 days a week. And I might have different goals and expectations every day. And some of them are going to be more intense. Some of them are going to be pretty easy, depending on the terrain, depending on who I'm with, depending on, how much time I have, how I feel, what the weather's like, all these different things. But it's still... a trail run can be so many different things relative to all those variables. And two, running the same, say, 5 or 10 mile run on the same trail in different weather with different people with different conditions can be entirely different, And so that's also one of the cool aspects of it. And again, running a fun group run might be different than me going out and hammering because I need to train or whatever. But I think that there's so many different variables of trail running that, again, you can make it what you want it to be and enjoy it in different ways every single day.
And I think it's important. One of the things, and we've mentioned this multiple times on this episode, and you sum it up very well on the very last chapter, and that is keeping it fun. And on page 263 is a graphic, and I believe this must have been taken from a photo that you had, Brian. It is Packboro racing. What a crazy sport. If you want to have fun with trail running, go to YouTube and just put in the search engine Packboro racing. And there are so many just fun stories there. So if you're not having fun, if you're one of the OGs that you're kind of losing your passion about trail running, you can mix it up. Get yourself a nice donkey and go out and enjoy the trails that way. Make it fun, right, Brian?
Yeah, let's go down that rabbit hole, because every time I tell a story about Packboro racing, people are like engaged and more than ever. But I'm actually sitting right now in Leadville, Colorado, where the whole thing started. In 1949, again, two miners sitting at a bar saying, I can get my ass over the pass faster than you, a couple shots of whiskey, some money exchange or money wagered, and then that's all it got started. And now Packboro racing is Colorado's state summer heritage sport. And it's trail running. It's absolutely trail running with donkey, and like these human/donkey teams run anywhere from, short as 4 miles to as long as 29 miles. And it's crazy fun, and it can be crazy hard. And you know, running with a donkey. I mean, like it's ridiculous, but you've got to keep yourself going, keep the donkey going. The donkey will walk when it's most efficient. The animal is probably smarter than we are, you know. I think that we learn in trail running that, yeah, we need to walk sometimes. It's more efficient to walk. And the donkeys know that right away. They'll look at you and like, I'm not running here. You know, what are you talking about? But that's all part of the racing of that. You've got to be able to manage your animal and or it's going to manage you. I will say there's nothing crazier than running downhill on a mountain gravel road at 5:15 mile pace and like knowing I'm not that fit to run that fast and just hammering downhill with a galloping donkey. I mean, like at that point, like you're going to get, you know, you're going to scrape your chin as you Superman down the hill after it. But there's been a couple times where you have this 12-foot rope and you've got to run up the rope and then kind of pull its bridle aside to have any chance of getting its attention, because at that point it's like having fun. It's just barreling down the mountain. Right. But you're holding onto this rope thinking, oh my God, I'm going to die. It's crazy fun.
Do you think they have fun, Brian? Do you think the donkeys are having as much fun as the runners?
Yeah. I mean, I've heard them laughing and smiling at me. They call it that donkey hee-haw. They call it the Rocky Mountain Canary. I don't know where that comes from, but that being said, I mean, like, the animals are certainly, you know, well treated and well kept, and they seem to have a good work ethic and a purpose. They run well on their own with their stable mates. And so I think the more you get into it, the more you realize, especially some of my friends here in Leadville who have donkeys, the donkeys are literally kept at the Ass Ranch across town. But the more you get to know them, the more you run with them, the more they're eager to do work, the more they're eager to train. And you can go out and do tempo runs with your donkey and be better off.
Does Run the Alps also have a donkey renting program?
You know, we're this close to launching it. But I did want to say, Brian has known for a couple years now that I'm really eager to try this because it sounds absolutely insane and fun, like type 2 or type 3 fun. Brian, if I don't get over to Colorado this summer, when you come over here for UTMB end of August, will you bring a burro with you as checked baggage or I guess a therapy animal, right?
If I can get one in my bag, for sure. But I will say there are at least two stray donkeys that always are wandering around the midway lift of a Guy de Midi. So I think there's donkeys there to be raced with. You know, just gotta train them.
They are here. That's true.
I have a question. Two questions. First one: what is the distance that for these burro races?
Yeah, the Colorado has about 6 or 7 races. There's a couple in Arizona right now. Generally, they're in the 5 to 15 mile range. The longest in Colorado is the World Championship, which is typically 29 miles out of Fairplay, Colorado. But there's races, you know, the shortest 4 miles, 6 miles, 10 miles, 15 miles. So you can often pick. There might be a short distance race or a long distance race that day. So depending on your own fitness, your own relative experience with donkeys, whether you're renting a donkey or whether you own your own, a lot of variables go into that. But certainly there's options for newcomers for sure. And I've tried to introduce as many people as possible to donkey racing. And the invitation's open to anyone who wants to come to Leadville and race a donkey.
do the donkeys need to train, or are they just ready right out of the stable?
So the typically the runners who do well or better in donkey racing are the ones that own their own donkey, but also because they're training them. I've helped train donkeys, you know, set up a session, and they bring some of the ranches that have donkeys bring donkeys out, and we take them on runs and everything else. I mean, they need to get fit as well. I think that improving their capillary beds is important as it is to us doing our long runs, you know.
So I think this puts a whole new definition to a fat ass race.
Well, yeah, you got to be careful what you say here, because first of all, the asses are very smart here, the ones we're talking about, and they're not stubborn. They're just smart. I mean, they'll teach you a few things about trail running for sure, and maybe improve your training and technique too.
I have a hunch here that there's a future Trail Runner Nation show coming up. It's going to be a live broadcast from Leadville, Colorado, and it might end in the hospital, but I hope not.
Well, not only can you learn about trail running from asses, you can also learn about trail running from the book by Doug Mayer and Brian Metzler called Trail Running Illustrated. If you're looking for a gift during the gift giving season, this is a great one. It's a great coffee table book. It's a good reference book. There's so many good chapters in here. If you're a new runner, it's got to be on your must have list. If you're an OG, you should also get it because there's some just a lot of fun memories. As I was going through it, I was thinking, I remember when I learned that lesson and I remember who I was with. And so it could be like we mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, you keep it in your vehicle and pick a topic and that's the topic for your run on Saturday morning with your group. Guys, thanks for coming and writing this book and coming on and telling us a little bit about it.
Thanks for having us.
I appreciate it very much, and it's always great for me to bring new people into the sport, whether it's their first time or their first race or whatever it is. I think it's people can, from any background, can enjoy trail running.
Agreed. Now go out and run
Mass.
We'd like to thank our great partners. You can find them on our deals page at trailrunnernation.com.
We want to thank our Patreon members, and this month we're expressing our appreciation to them by sending them a $25 UCAN gift card. We'll be getting that out to them in the next few weeks. If you're a Patreon supporter as of today, you're going to get one of those $25.
In fact, Scott, we want to do something like this every quarter for our Patreon members to make it valuable to become part of our Patreon team.
All you do is go to Patreon, type in Trail Runner Nation, and you'll get to our page and you can help us out. Special thanks to our business Patreon sponsor, Doug Crumley, a private wealth advisor with Crumley & Associates, which is a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, LLC. When you have the right financial advisor like Doug, life can be brilliant. You can visit him at DougCrumleyJr.com. That's DougCrumleyJr.com.
And special thanks to producer and editor Ryan War.
Our social media expert is Yana Gibalova.
Our theme was produced and composed by Kyle Richardson. Thanks, Kyle.
Have a great week training.